We're on the record. I'm Sheila Cass. Good morning. Baltimore is in mourning. Mourning the deaths of six construction workers and possibly others. Mourning the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. In just seconds, early Tuesday, the soaring structure that had channeled tens of thousands of truckers and commuters to their destinations each day for nearly half a century plunged into the Patapsco River, a sudden, shocking hole in the harbor skyline. The impacts are sure to be far-reaching and long-lasting. We're looking today at the economic fallout that may come, the impacts on people who work and live near the bridge. Scott Cowan joins me now. He's president of the International Longshoremen's Association Local 333 and vice president of the International Longshoremen's Association. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You grew up in a longshoreman household. You have worked all kinds of jobs at the Port of Baltimore, and you've been part of the ILA for three decades. What went through your mind when you heard about the bridge?
Well, first of all, my first thought was if there was any ILA members that were crossing that bridge going home from work, and they're actually the ship that struck the bridge. It finished up at the Seagirt Marine Terminal a little bit before midnight, and some of our crane mechanics, who are the guys that service and repair and do all the necessary maintenance on the cranes in the port that unload the ships, a few of them were actually going home. They live over in Anne Arundel County in Pasadena, and they crossed that bridge less than an hour before it was struck and it collapsed.
Wow, that must have caught your heart. Local 333 represents the men and women responsible for loading and unloading cargo at the port. What have you been hearing from your members?
They are in disbelief still, and of course it immediately turns to, you know, how are they going to get paid? What are their benefits protected, and how they're going to put food on the table for their families and keep their everyday lives going? You know, we've been shut down because of bad snows or heavy winds and different things like that. The port will get shut down for a couple hours, or the shipping channel gets shut down for 12 hours or a day. That's one thing, and that's impactful as well, but nothing like this. This is probably the biggest shipping catastrophe that the Port of Baltimore has ever felt.
Vessel traffic in and out of the Port of Baltimore is suspended. How is this going to affect the income of longshoremen?
Every dock and pier that the ILA longshoremen in the Port of Baltimore work is north, I guess it would be considered north of the Key Bridge. We have one dock and pier that we do work auto row vessels over at Trade Point Atlantic that is prior to the south and prior to the Key Bridge. So it's going to create a huge impact on the Port of Baltimore as a whole and the whole state of Maryland. I mean, the port is an economic engine for the state. It produces a lot of jobs, a lot of revenue, a lot of income, a lot of taxes. The economic impact alone is $191 million per day that's going to be felt from this shipping channel being closed.
Yeah, the Port of Baltimore supports about 15,000 direct jobs and more than 130,000 jobs connected to work at the port. General Assembly Senate President Bill Ferguson, who represents Baltimore City, wrote on social media, quote, "The human cost of lives lost yesterday is overwhelming and tragic. The economic instability lost to the thousands impacted in the days ahead cannot be understated." Talk to me about that economic instability loss he mentions.
Well, you have not only the people that I represent, the longshoremen and women of the Port of Baltimore, you have the trucking community, you have the warehouses that are tied to the port, and ultimately you have the consumer in the area. Many of the sea containers that come in and out of the Port of Baltimore are directly either consumed or filled right here in the Baltimore, Washington metropolitan region. We do not send a lot of our cargo out to the Midwest via train, and that's due to the fact of the height constraint of the Howard Street Tunnel, which is currently being addressed, so we can do that and create more volume in the port. But the cargo, especially the container cargo that comes here to Baltimore, is consumed directly in the region. And the impact, while it will not be probably as felt as hard as it was during the COVID pandemic, it will be felt hard, pretty hard in this region over the next few weeks.
Senate President Ferguson said he and other legislators who represent the area of the port are drafting emergency income replacement legislation. What will you be looking for that legislation to do?
We need to help put money in the pockets of the members and all the related workers around the port so they can take care of their family. You know, we need to preserve the benefits that they currently enjoy. Longshoring is a very lucrative job. It's very sought after. It's very well paying. It has fantastic benefits. A lot of us raise our families, and we're raised from a longshore family. But it also does have its drawbacks. It's a daily hire job. It's not a salaried job. It's an hourly job. And when there's no ships or no cargo, it's no work. And when it's no work, no money's going into the pockets of the men and women of the ILA.
So you mentioned, you said preserve benefits. Are benefits at risk?
They are. Our members' benefits are driven off of man hours. And every week that we go by, that we do not have any man hours, their pension, their health care, their, you know, local dental and vision, they're all driven off of man hours. And when the man hours stop, the contributions to those funds stop as well.
Beyond that, what will you be watching for as the recovery and rebuilding gets underway?
The main issue for us is getting the shipping channel back open and getting the cargo that's destined for this port back to this port, and the cargo that was coming through the port to keep coming through this port. That's the main goal for me. And, you know, first and foremost on my mind is the members of the ILA. And I want to get their cargo moving again and get it back to work. I know the bridge needs to be rebuilt and some different infrastructure needs to be put in place. That's a future thing. An immediate thing right now is to get the shipping channel cleared so we can get commerce moving back and forth through the Port of Baltimore again.
I hope you'll keep in touch with us as this whole long process gets underway. Scott Cowan is President, International Longshoremen's Association, Local 333, and Vice President of the International Longshoremen's Association. Thanks for speaking with me, Scott.
You're welcome.
This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about the impact on Baltimore citizens and its economy of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Joining me now is WIPR health reporter Scott Massioni. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
There's a lot of debris in the Patapsco River. Currently, all shipping activity is halted. You have spoken with some people who have an idea about how long it might take to clean that up. What are they saying?
That's right. This is going to be a pretty big project. You have to remember this is a nearly 1,000-foot ship that is clogging the Patapsco River right now. And then this is a large portion of the bridge that fell into the river. So we're talking tons and tons of material that are blocking this pathway that is used for the port. And it may take, from what I've heard from some engineering experts at the Johns Hopkins University, it may take months or even up to a year to get all of that out and to get those 15,000 port workers back to work, because right now they're just in limbo as the port is closed down because this waterway is clogged.
Who or what entities would be enlisted for a job of this size?
So the government will have to contract with some sort of company to do this. You know, the Army Corps of Engineers is going to be also part of this. And President Biden said on Tuesday that the Army Corps of Engineers is already on site and they work within waterways and things like this, working on canals. So they have a lot of expertise with that. But I'm sure that they will be contracting with a lot of companies that specialize in this sort of thing. And it's going to take, you know, quite a bit of time before they can get all this material dredged out and then start work on possibly building another bridge.
What about freight moving in and out by truck? How would that be affected?
Well, we know at this point that 695 is no longer going to be an option, at least coming in that way. So we're probably going to see a lot of changes in the transportation patterns throughout the city. You know, obviously, we still have the tunnel and another bridge coming in. But, you know, I-95 is a major thoroughway that sometimes uses 695. You know, there's many other options for people, but one of the largest options, which was the Francis Scott Key Bridge, is which, you know, had tens of thousands of cars going over it each day, is no longer an option for people. So this will certainly change the way that we see our transportation patterns within the city.
While the port is closed, what businesses there, what are the kinds of businesses there that will be affected, that whose supply chains will be affected?
Yeah, one of the professors at Johns Hopkins University named Ting Long Dai, he used this metaphor to explain how the Port of Baltimore works. It is the Taylor Swift of U.S. auto parts. And when she's not performing, the world feels a greater loss. So right now, Baltimore is, you know, the auto industry is probably going to be hurting the most because of this, because Baltimore is such a scion for this sort of industry. So we're going to be seeing, according to him, probably a lot of things rerouted out to the west and to other areas. There's going to be multiple routings happening in the coming months. However, he did say that he thinks the Port of Baltimore will rebound. He is not expecting any sort of big issues. You know, it may take a year or so to get this everything back to normal, or even longer as this bridge is being built. However, it is one of the success stories of Baltimore. It's seen a lot of upgrades, a lot of improvements and investments from the federal government and the state of Maryland. So they're definitely not going to be giving up on the port. And if anything, it's going to come back at just the way that it was, or they may even put some more money into it now that they're doing work over there.
You mentioned the 15,000 direct employees of the port. The communities around the port are home to many of them. Have you heard about any assistance that port workers will be offered in the short term?
So at this point, we've heard that Senate President Ferguson is going to be introducing an emergency package that will hopefully at least pay for some of their expenses and pay, you know, part of their salary, if not all of their salary. We haven't seen the package yet for exactly what it will offer these people, but, you know, they're hoping that to keep them there and to be able to make sure that they can pay their mortgage, their rent and groceries and things like that. This is a huge part of Maryland's and Baltimore's backbone in terms of the industrial complex, and they want to keep it going. So if these people can't pay for their food or pay for living there, we're going to have a huge issue. So Maryland is going to try and step up and pay for that. And, you know, obviously the there's a supermajority in both houses of the legislature and a Democratic governor. So it's very likely that this is going to pass pretty quickly.
You alluded to the bridge rebuild. Building the one that's now in the water took about 5 years. I know it's early days now, but is anyone giving estimates of how long a rebuild will take?
Yeah, it's possible this could take up to a decade. One of the closest comparisons to this is Tampa Bay's Sunshine Skyway Bridge, which was hit by a freighter in 1980. That took 7 years to rebuild. One of the experts at Johns Hopkins University told me that these kind of projects usually run in the hundreds of millions of dollars and can take, you know, 5 to 10 years to do. You know, these are huge infrastructure, civil infrastructure projects. And, you know, obviously the cleanup process has to finish before they can even start this.
Well, yeah. And I mean, given what a blockage the current bridge debris is for getting in and out of the port, any idea how there could be a bridge construction project that would not also block the port?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, and probably a good one for someone a lot smarter than I am when it comes to engineering. But I'm sure that they somehow did it back in the 1977 when they were building, in the 70s when they were building this FSK bridge in the first place. But I'd assume that it would definitely slow down some of the traffic that would come within and out of the port as they build this bridge again.
Wow, a lot we're all going to live through. Scott, thanks for walking us through it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Scott Massioni is a health reporter for WIPR who has been covering the impact of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Short break on the record. When we're back, voices from a prayer vigil in Turner Station. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us.